This is the reading for January 19th. Psalm 19. The heavens tell the glory of God, and the skies announce what His hands have made. Day after day they tell the story. Night after night they tell it again. They have no speech or words. They have no voice to be heard. But their message goes out through all the world. Their words go everywhere on earth. The sky is like a home for the sun. The sun comes out like a bridegroom from his bedroom. It rejoices like an athlete eager to run a race. The sun rises at one end of the sky and follows its path to the other end. Nothing hides from its heat. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. The orders of the Lord are right. They make people happy. The commands of the Lord are pure. They light up the way. Respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are completely right. They are worth more than gold, even the purest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even the finest honey. By them your servant is warned. Keeping them brings great reward. People cannot see their own mistakes. Forgive me for my secret sins. Keep me from the sins of pride. Don't let them rule me. Then I can be pure and innocent of the greatest of sins. I hope my words and thoughts please you. Lord, you are my rock, the one who saves me. Genesis chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the family history of Jacob. Joseph was a young man, 17 years old. He and his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, cared for the flocks. Joseph gave his father bad reports about his brothers. Since Joseph was born when his father Israel was old, Israel loved him more than his other sons. He made Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than he loved them, they hated their brother and could not speak to him politely. One time, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Joseph said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were in the field tying bundles of wheat together. My bundle stood up, and your bundles of wheat gathered around it and bowed down to it." His brothers said, "Do you really think you will be king over us? Do you truly think you will rule over us?" His brothers hated him even more because of his dreams and what he had said. Then Joseph had another dream, and he told his brothers about it also. He said, "Listen, I had another dream. I saw the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." Joseph also told his father about this dream, but his father scolded him, saying, "What kind of dream is this? Do you really believe that your mother, your brothers, and I will bow down to you?" Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father thought about what all these things could mean. One day, Joseph's brothers went to Shechem to graze their father's flocks. Israel said to Joseph, "Go to Shechem where your brothers are grazing the flocks." Joseph answered, "I will go." His father said, "Go and see if your brothers and the flocks are all right. Then come back and tell me." So Joseph's father sent him from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph came to Shechem, a man found him wandering in the field and asked him, "What are you looking for?" Joseph answered, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing the flocks?" The man said, "They have already gone. I heard them say they were going to Dothan." So Joseph went to look for his brothers and found them in Dothan. Joseph's brothers saw him coming from far away. Before he reached them, they made a plan to kill him. They said to each other, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw his body into one of the wells. We can tell our father that a wild animal killed him. Then we will see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard their plan and saved Joseph, saying, "Let's not kill him. Don't spill any blood. Throw him into this well here in the desert, but don't hurt him." Reuben planned to save Joseph later and send him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they pulled off his robe with long sleeves and threw him into the well. It was empty, and there was no water in it. While Joseph was in the well, the brothers sat down to eat. When they looked up, they saw a group of Ishmaelites traveling from Gilead to Egypt. Their camels were carrying spices, balm, and myrrh. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and hide his death? Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. Then we will not be guilty of killing our own brother. After all, He is our brother, our own flesh and blood. And the other brothers agreed. So when the Midianite traders came by, the brothers took Joseph out of the well and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 8 ounces of silver. And the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. When Reuben came back to the well and Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes to show he was upset. Then he went back to his brothers and said, "The boy is not there. What shall I do?" The brothers killed a goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. Then they brought the long-sleeved robe to their father and said, "We found this robe. Look it over carefully and see if it is your son's robe." Jacob looked it over and said, "It is my son's robe. Some savage animal has eaten him. My son Joseph has been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on rough cloth to show that he was upset, and he continued to be sad about his son for a long time. All of his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he could not be comforted. He said, "I will be sad about my son until the day I die." So Jacob cried for his son Joseph. Meanwhile, the Midianites who had bought Joseph had taken him to Egypt. There they sold him to Potiphar, an officer to the king of Egypt and captain of the palace guard. Genesis chapter 38. About that time, Judah left his brothers and went to stay with a man named Hira in the town of Adullam. There Judah met a Canaanite girl, the daughter of a man named Shua, and married her. Judah had sexual relations with her, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, whom Judah named Er. Later, she gave birth to another son and named him Onan. Still later, she had another son and named him Shelah. She was at Kizib when this third son was born. Judah chose a girl named Tamar to be the wife of his first son, Er. But Er, Judah's oldest son, did what the Lord said was evil, so the Lord killed him. Then Judah said to Er's brother Onan, "Go and have sexual relations with your dead brother's wife. It is your duty to provide children for your brother in this way." But Onan knew that the children would not belong to him, so when he was supposed to have sexual relations with Tamar, he did not complete the sex act. This made it impossible for Tamar to become pregnant and for Er to have descendants. The Lord was displeased by this wicked thing Onan had done, so the Lord killed Onan also. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Go back to live in your father's house, and don't marry until my young son Shelah grows up." Judah was afraid that Shelah also would die like his brothers, so Tamar returned to her father's home. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. After Judah had gotten over his sorrow, he went to Timnah to his men who were cutting the wool from his sheep. His friend Hira from Adullam went with him. Tamar learned that Judah, her father-in-law, was going to Timnah to cut the wool from his sheep. So she took off the clothes that showed she was a widow and covered her face with a veil to hide who she was. Then she sat down by the gate of Enaim on the road to Timnah. She did this because Judah's younger son, Shelah, had grown up, but Judah had not made plans for her to marry him. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute because she had covered her face with a veil. So Judah went to her and said, "Let me have sexual relations with you." He did not know that she was Tamar, his daughter-in-law. She asked, "What will you give me if I let you have sexual relations with me?" Judah answered, "I will send you a young goat from my flock." She answered, "First give me something to keep as a deposit until you send the goat." Judah asked, "What do you want me to give you as a deposit?" Tamar answered, "Give me your seal and its cord, and give me your walking stick." So Judah gave these things to her. Then Judah and Tamar had sexual relations, and Tamar became pregnant. When Tamar went home, she took off the veil that covered her face and put on the clothes that showed she was a widow. Judah sent his friend Hira with a young goat to find the woman and get back his seal and the walking stick he had given her. But Hira could not find her. He asked some of the people at the town of Enaim, "Where is the prostitute who was here by the road?" They answered, "There has never been a prostitute here." So he went back to Judah and said, "I could not find the woman, and the people who lived there said there has never been a prostitute here." Judah said, "Let her keep the things. I don't want people to laugh at us. I sent her the goat as I promised, but you cannot find her." About 3 months later, someone told Judah, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, is guilty of acting like a prostitute, and now she is pregnant." Then Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned to death." When the people went to bring Tamar out, she sent a message to her father-in-law that said, the man who owns these things has made me pregnant. Look at this seal and its cord and this walking stick and tell me whose they are. Judah recognized them and said, She is more in the right than I. She did this because I did not give her to my son Shelah as I promised. And Judah did not have sexual relations with her again. When the time came for Tamar to give birth, there were twins in her body. While she was giving birth, one baby put his hand out. The nurse tied a red string on his hand and said, This baby came out first. But he pulled his hand back in, so the other baby was born first. The nurse said, So you were able to break out first, and they named him Perez. After this, the baby with the red string on his hand was born, and they named him Zerah.
Chapter 13.
That same day, Jesus left the house and sat down by the Sea of Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat. He sat in the boat while the entire crowd stood on the shore. Then he used stories as illustrations to tell them many things. He said, Listen, a farmer went to plant seed. Some seeds were planted along the road, and birds came and devoured them. Other seeds were planted on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The plants sprouted quickly because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. They withered because their roots weren't deep enough. Other seeds were planted among thorn bushes, and the thorn bushes grew up and choked them. But other seeds were planted on good ground and produced grain. They produced 160 or 30 times as much as was planted. Let the person who has ears listen. The disciples asked him, Why do you use stories as illustrations when you speak to people? Jesus answered, Knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but it has not been given to the crowd. Those who understand these mysteries will be given more knowledge and they will excel in understanding them. However, some people don't understand these mysteries. Even what they understand will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them this way. They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. So they make Isaiah's prophecy come true. You will hear clearly, but never understand. You will see clearly, but never comprehend. These people have become closed-minded and hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes so that their eyes never see. Their ears never hear. Their minds never understand. And they never return to me for healing. Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. I can guarantee this truth. Many prophets and many of God's people longed to see what you see but didn't see it, to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. Listen to what the story about the farmer means. Someone hears the word about the kingdom but doesn't understand it. The evil one comes at once and snatches away what was planted in him. This is what the seed planted along the road illustrates. The seed planted on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and accepts it at once with joy. Since he doesn't have any root, he lasts only a little while. When suffering or persecution comes along because of the word, he immediately falls from faith. The seed planted among the thorn bushes is another person who hears the word. But the worries of life and the deceitful pleasures of riches choke the word so that it can't produce anything. But the seed planted on good ground is the person who hears and understands the word. This type produces crops. They produce 160 or 30 times as much as was planted. Jesus used another illustration. He said, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who planted good seed in his field. But while people were asleep, his enemy planted weeds in the wheat field and went away. When the wheat came up and formed kernels, weeds appeared. The owner's workers came to him and asked, Sir, didn't you plant good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? He told them, An enemy did this. His workers asked him, Do you want us to pull out the weeds? He replied, No, if you pull the weeds out, you may pull out the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. When the grain is cut, I will tell the workers to gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles to be burned. But I'll have them bring the wheat into my barn. Jesus used another illustration. He said, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone planted in a field. It is one of the smallest seeds. However, when it has grown, it is taller than the garden plants. it becomes a tree that is large enough for birds to nest in its branches. He used another illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into a large amount of flour until the yeast worked its way through all the dough. Jesus used illustrations to tell the crowds all these things. He did not tell them anything without illustrating it with a story, so that what the prophet had said came true. I will open my mouth to illustrate points. I will tell what has been hidden since the world was made. When Jesus had sent the people away, he went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain what the illustration of the weeds in the field means." He answered, "The one who plants the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are those who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are those who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The workers are angels. Just as weeds are gathered and burned, so it will be at the end of time. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will gather everything in his kingdom that causes people to sin and everyone who does evil. The angels will throw them into a blazing furnace. People will cry and be in extreme pain there. Then the people who have God's approval will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Let the person who has ears listen. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. When a man discovered it, he buried it again. He was so delighted with it that he went away, sold everything he had, and bought that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who was searching for fine pearls. When he found a valuable pearl, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea. It gathered all kinds of fish. When it was full, they pulled it to the shore. Then they sat down, gathered the good fish into containers, and threw the bad ones away. The same thing will happen at the end of time. The angels will go out and separate the evil people from people who have God's approval. Then the angels will throw the evil people into the blazing furnace. They will cry and be in extreme pain there. Have you understood all of this?" "Yes," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "That is why every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner. He brings new and old things out of his treasure chest." When Jesus had finished these illustrations, he left that place. Jesus went to his hometown and taught the people in the synagogue in a way that amazed them. People were asking, "Where did this man get this wisdom and the power to do these miracles? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers' names James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters here with us? Where then did this man get all this?" So they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "The only place a prophet isn't honored is in his hometown and in his own house." He didn't work many miracles there because of their lack of faith.